Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Tessa Thompson and Janelle Monáe. I talk about the queer power couple we all deserve right now.
We need it in our lives. They're fucking beautiful and gorgeous and smart.
I mean, those are the scissor sisters I subscribe to.
Hey, say that three times. Scissor sisters I subscribe to.
Scissor, sisters, scissor, sisters, scissor, sisters, scissor, sisters. I don't know. I just felt like I was saying sissy over and over again.
Oh, well, that's okay. We embrace and respect that as well.
I mean, fuck yes. That's my thing.
Love it. What's up, maricón?
Hey, cabrona.
What's poppin'? How
aquí,
you been?
Ya sabes, hey. You know, feeling my oats, drinking this cheap tecate.
Hey, same, same. When you got the red tecate, I thought of Maite immediately. I was like, oh, fuck, what's going down today?
I mean, yeah, like, I'm not really, you know, trying to watch my figure or anything. Mm-hmm. I was like, we're not doing light, miss thing. We're doing the full dosage.
I'm embracing my shape. Look, I'm round and I don't give no fucks. Hell, This is it. This is the best it's going to be.
Round is the shape of everything except Earth.
Yeah. Oh my god. So I'm so fucking happy to have you here. Everyone, I want to introduce Richard Villegas from Songmas. He's a music journalist and he's also like a badass human being.
I am really badass. Yes. Actually like fought, you know, the Terminator on my way here today.
He did three times. Really nice. Three times. Yeah. I was witness.
And I mean, I'm talking like the 90s Terminator, the one that was like liquid bullshit, like the real good one.
The Terminator 2.
From the second one, Judgment Day, baby.
Yeah. That one's fucking fire. I love that one. It's my favorite one.
It is. I mean, it's just like, it's legend.
It's fucking legendary. And so I wanted to like pick your mind this episode. I want to just like interview you and talk about like your life story. You know, we're going to get all Terry Gross in this bitch.
Yeah.
And so I just want to know, I want the listeners to know a little bit more about you. So like, I guess the first question I really am interested to ask is, where are you from? I know. It's an interesting question.
Yeah. It's a complex question. So, you know, I'm from the world. No, so I'm from New York City, and that's you know what I try to. That's like my calling card. You know, I'm that asshole New Yorker that only talks about being from New York. You know, like I didn't grow up in New York. I was born in New York. You know, I was born in Brooklyn, but I'm not gonna, you know, throw the rock up every single time. But yeah, I am actually born in New York. Mm-hmm. One of the few people who are. Mm-hmm. But I grew up in the Dominican Republic.
And, nice.
Yeah, and that was 15 years of my life. You know, like it wasn't just like, I was there like a semester. And yeah, and like my dad is Colombian, my mom is Puerto Rican. You know, and I've like kind of like lived around. I'm currently, you know, on the road. I'm one of those hobos that like puts their life in a bandana and just hops a train. That's my current life story.
You're wondering.
Yeah, but the whole like where you're from thing, like we were talking a little bit about it before, and it's just like it's always very complicated because you also don't want to come off as like a pretentious ass of like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. We're all black. We're all from Africa.
Oh,
you know, like I don't want to be that guy.
Yes, don't, and you're not.
No,
you're
not. But I mean, I've been around and it's just like, it's very weird for me to like claim a place, you know, just cause like where I was born, like I didn't grow up necessarily with the, cultural background or cultural structure, of like, say like my parents, you know, upbringing, like, you know,
it wasn't just in one location. You grew up in several places. You were talking to me off air about that.
Well, no, I mean, I grew up in the Dominican Republic, but you know, personally, like it's interesting because like, you know, the values that I got from my parents are kind of like, you know, non-ethnic, non-racial, you know, it's just very like, oh, you know, work hard, you know, be on your shit, you know, work, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, you know, just be smart, or at least prepared. You know, but that's what I got from them. It's not like in, you know, again, I said my dad is Colombian. Like, it's not like I grew up being like, hola, parcero, hey. You know, like every single day, you know, or like, you know, my mom is Boricua, but like we weren't dancing salsa, you know, all the time. Right. Like
arroz con candules was not every day. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was like non-stereotypical, you know, it's just like, and growing up in DR, like it was very odd because like I grew up there and I had a great time and like I love my friends from there and like I'm incredibly grateful. Like I wouldn't change my upbringing for anything because like, you know, I didn't grow up rich by any means. And, you know, like DR has like a very specific set of circumstances. So like,
yes.
You know, from economic disparity to like, you know, blackouts and, you know, sometimes safety is an issue and like politics are like murky and weird. And but like the food is great and people are always trying to have a good time. So like I grew up in that and like I never identified myself as Dominican either. Cause like I didn't have that, necessary like direct connection to like, you know, my friends would like go hang out with their abuelitas or their tías or whatever. And I was just like, well, I don't really have any of that. But yeah, but anyway, so like I've been around, but me as a person, as Richard Villegas, as Rixi NYC, hey. As you might see me in places
Richardina.
Like that, La Richardina, that was New York City. That all happened in New York City. Like that's where I was able to answer these questions of who I am, what am I, what do I do? And, you know, I even when I travel abroad, it's like, you know, oh, you're American. No, I'm a New Yorker.
Hey.
And like, again, that's not quite snobbery. Well, it's a little bit of snobbery.
I mean, it's not, it's not snobbery because it's where you are from. It's where you became you.
Yes. And that's exactly
okay to claim.
That's exactly it. It's where I became who I am. You know, like that's where I came out of the closet. That's where like, you know, like all this, that's where I embraced, honestly, like, my background as like a Latino, you know, as a queer, you know, just like as whatever, you know, that's where like I was able to shape that identity that I currently possess.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I do want to ask more questions about music as well. Like,
please.
What was like your first experience? Because you are a music journalist and I think it's incredibly interesting. How did you become this, you know, this amazing, like, you know everything about music, and I learn everything from music from you. So what was your first experience, your earliest memory of music?
Holy shit. First of all, that's ridiculous that you learn everything about music from me.
I learn a lot of it from you.
I'm going to put that on my byline.
Yes. Fight Papita learns her music from you.
Yes. So you know, music was like a weird coming, you know, to the light moment. Again, like, I always felt very out of place in DR. Like, I was always, like, a big ol', you know, like, a little sissy fag, like, since I was a little boy. And so I never really felt very at home in the Dominican Republic. And I internalized that as a rejection, even of, like, my own Latinidad, which now as an adult is, you know, it's kind of my bread and butter. You know, like, this is, I'm currently on this, like, nonsense trip that I'm doing, because of the path that Latin music has put me on. But as a child, I did not connect to it. And so like, even though I grew up in the heart of like, you know, merengue and bachata and now like, you know, reggaeton, you know, like I left the Dominican Republic when I was 17 and just being like, ugh, never.
Done
ugh,
with it.
Nope. And like even, and now like, you know, now as an adult, I do like those genres of music and I do like, even like the classic pop, like your Juanga and Rocío Dúrcal and, you know, Thalía and Paulina Rubio, you know, that my dad liked and listened to. Like, my dad loves Juanga. My dad isn't a terrible homophobe, but he loves Juanga, which I feel like is a recurring theme for Latinos everywhere.
A lot of macho ass men.
Absolutely.
They fucking love Juanga.
And now as an adult, I'm like, holy shit. And we'll talk about Juanga a little bit later when we talk about like representation and things like that, because Juanga was a big coming to light for me. Really what brought, so there's like two major moments that brought me into music. One was when I lived in the Dominican Republic. My mom is very much a child of the 80s. You know, she loved, you know, that pop music glory days.
Tina Turner,
Prince, Michael, Whitney.
Shoulder pads.
Shoulder pads and Aquanet, Miss Thing. You know, I remember we would drive back and forth a lot and we found the radio station that would play this music. Let's say like eighth grade on, that's what I would listen to if I had a choice. So it was very snooty of like, ugh, I can't be bothered with like the local music, but I'm like, this incredible gringo music is great. So that was like sort of like what pointed me on the road. And so like when I came to live in the US, in New York, I started collecting vinyl just as sort of like a nostalgia thing, before it like blew up, and like now everybody's like selling it for like $20.
Yes.
And you know, in my mind, I was like, I want to learn about the past before I can think about the present. And so like I started collecting all these like, you know, classic rock albums. Like, you know, I love, Bowie and Queen and Prince and the Beatles and, you know, like, you know, Heart, you know,
so many like genderqueer people we just named right now. And absolutely. I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. And they very much influenced who I am. Cher, Madonna, like these are my icons. And then the second moment was when I was like 21, 22, my boyfriend and I moved to South America. And we spent a year in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, and we spent 2 years in Santiago in Chile.
Is that when it changed for you?
That's exactly where it changed for me. So like, again, we were like snooty gringos and we're like, wow, you know, cute. We live here. We're sickening. Everything is great. And we left, like I saw like a lot of like local bands, and I was very like, cool, whatever, great. Oh. and I came to New York and like, we lived like kings there. And when we moved to New York, you know, I was like crashing on an air mattress and broke and I didn't have a job.
New York, and typical New York.
but it was very rough. Like, you know, like it's just like day and night, you know? And I was super depressed. And so I was like, I was thirsting for like a little taste of South America. And I remember that my friend had done, the website for Denver, who are like one of the biggest bands in Chile. And he sent me like their record, and it was called Música Gramática Gimnasia. And it is brilliant. It is one of the most brilliant albums in all of like Latin indie as a genre. I mean, it's truly groundbreaking, you know, and I was like, holy crap, you know, where was I? And like, I'd actually seen them live twice and I was just like, whatever. I'm like, I'm going to go get a drink until like the person, the band that I'm waiting for comes out.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, and then it's just like, what?
To see you now is just like the biggest difference.
But, I try to be very upfront about the gringo snobbiness because I want people to learn from it. Like we in this country are very like, oh wow, we're the be all end all.
Oh,
and
God, like, no.
You know, like, pat Latinos on the head. Like, oh, that's cool. It's so nice of you to do this.
That was cute, but no.
No, but there's so, like, you know, something that I learned, like, you know, that night, I was just like, what is this? And then, like, started, like, Googling, like, related bands. Like, you know, YouTube started, you know, hooking me up. And that's where I discovered, like, Javier Amena and Alex Ambanter and Adrián Igual and, you know, Astro. And, like, you know, there's a huge queer presence, first of all, in like Latin indie, which is nuts to me because we don't have that really here as
Fuck
much.
No.
Do
you need your music to be queer?
No, not at all. Okay. No. I half the time I prefer it not to be, to be perfectly honest, because like it's very
well. Like Javier Amena and them, they're not like centering their queerness at all. They just are. They're queer and they make art.
Well, because I'm very iffy about it coming off as a gimmick. I don't ever want it to be a gimmick, you know.
It shouldn't be the only thing that's good. It should be about the artistry and not so much about the fact that they're just a queer artist. Like, you have to actually be good.
Because, like, for example, like, if we talk about Javier Amena and Alex Ambanter, both, again, both are Chilean pop stars, and they're very, very different. So, Javier Amena has been out of the closet since day one. She didn't have a coming out process. She's just been out, you know. And, like, you know, if you see her in concert, she, like, especially when she was doing, like, smaller indie stuff, she would dedicate songs to, like, girls in the front.
Oh, fuck.
Javier Amena is the baddest
She
bitch.
Sounds like my hero. She like, so great. Some shit I would do. Like,
she is knee deep in it, bro. Like, if she wants it, she gets it.
I mean, she's fucking gorgeous.
She's
and she's amazing fucking talented artist. Yes. So, I mean, it's easy.
But Alex Ambanter has not really been out of the closet. Like, he has never addressed it like that, like even though we all know it's very Juan Gaesque, very
lo que
glass
se ve,
closet.
No se pregunta.
Exactly. But like his music does reference that a lot, you know, so he'll talk about you know, like where Javier Amena is very pop, just very like standard pop, like very like singer songwriter, that's really her background. Alex really embraces protest music, and so you know, he's very inspired by like, you know, your Victor Parra, Victor Jara's and like Violeta Parra, who are like these like very famous dissenting sort of like protest musicians from Chile. And so his music is very like, it's very overt, and he's not one for metaphors. He's just one to be like, fuck you and fuck your institutions and, like, you know, fuck the patriarchy, like
fuck capitalism, absolutely. Like fuck all of it. Yeah, I've seen one of his, my introduction to him is through you. So
really? Yes. Oh my god, I like, I, he's he's one of my absolute favorites. Like his his last album, which was called Amiga, mm-hmm. He has a song for trans rights. Mm-hmm. He has a song called Siempre es Viernes a mi Corazón, which is
fucking, you know, anthem. I love that song.
And he's like, you know, like, I don't want to go to hell just for just because you've decided that I'm sick. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, if I want to set something on fire, let it be, you know, the church and the Congress.
Ay.
And I'm like, work, bitch, you know. so yeah, so like, I came to this super late, and I was like, what is this?
21, right?
You said? When you moved back to at that point, I was like 23, 24.
Wow.
But again, like, I was like, what? Oh my god. And so ever since, I was just like, it became a form of sort of quenching, mm-hmm. this depression and this like nostalgia that I had for like my former life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the things that I've learned from, you know, doing nightlife, or from being in, you know, being a traveler, or from, you know, just working in music,
mm-hmm.
half the game is just showing up. And
that is, yeah.
And I would just show up to the gigs, and like, you know, little by little, I was learning, I discovered, I would mm-hmm. go to the concerts, mm-hmm. and then I would, you know, it's a small scene, even mm-hmm. now that it's much, much bigger,
mm-hmm.
It's still small. You still run into the same people at the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met the Remezcla people. And eventually, like, you know, I'm a very opinionated person, as you might be able to tell.
it's just, and like, you know,
eventually maybe. Somebody was like, hey, well, not somebody, the editor in chief. She was like, I like what you have to say. Mm-hmm. You should write for us. And I was like, ha ha ha, who are you? And she's like, I'm the editor. I'm like, I'll have a pitch by Monday.
You're like, I'm ready. Like, this is my life already.
I'm like, oh, okay. That's an actual real opportunity. It's not mm-hmm. just somebody saying that, you know?
So I guess, like, another question I am thinking of is, like, what initially even drove you to music? What do you love about it?
I mean, you know, I honestly, there's not a really special answer there. I just, it's fun.
It's fun.
I love, like, you know, we were talking, like, everybody thinks that because I mostly cover indie music, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a big old hipster that way, but you know, everybody thinks that, like, I'm so, like, oh my god, I'm a relevant influencer, and, like, this the music that I listen to is so relevant,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, like, I love garbage. I really love trash. Okay,
like what?
Like, I really, like, so, like, Alex Amantar, for example, and Javier mm-hmm. Amena get made fun of for just being so pop, and it's just, like, I really enjoy that,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I love being able to find the nuances mm-hmm. in things that aren't meant to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like, one of my favorites right now is La Prohibida, who is a mm-hmm. drag queen from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is that people are like, oh, well, it's a drag queen making a song or whatever. And especially, like, you know, with Drag Race, the way that it is now, that it's like such a, like, it's a cultural
popping.
Moment.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, it's just some campy, jokey thing. But it's like, it's real, legit pop music with real production and, like, real lyrics. And it's really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love things that'll make me laugh. Like, I love Juanga. Like, the singers, you know, the songwriting iconic. Is so brilliant. But, like, if you watch him at, like, you know, his concerts at Bellas Artes.
Oh,
I'm like crying and laughing at the same time. You
he
know?
Doesn't take himself seriously at all.
And
like
that's
he's
what
like,
I love.
Fuck it. I'm wearing a cape and it's sparkly as fuck, and I'm gonna do spins and I'm gonna spill this liquor all over this yeah. like stage.
Or on myself.
No fuck, on myself. And I'm gonna just keep singing, bitch. Like he's I fucking love him.
I love Honga.
He's
Yeah, and yeah, and that's exactly it. Like I love things that don't take themselves so seriously, you mm-hmm. know. One of my favorites mm-hmm. is Tony Gallardo, who is this mm-hmm. producer from Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Club Fonograma, shout out to them.
Shout out.
Slight RIP because it kind of like died, aww. But it's weird.
RIP.
But they were like one of the big first big blogs in the scene, and mm-hmm. He was, you know, kind of like their mascot for a while. Like they stand for him. And he's this great, very bizarre producer
mm-hmm.
from Tijuana. And he has like six different projects. He just has the most musical ADD you've ever seen. And he has this project called Maria Jose. That's like the one that blew him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's part of the scene called Ruido Son, which is sort of like taking these sort of like ideas of Mexicanness.
Mm.
And and sort of putting a sarcastic, you know, ironic sort of twist on it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they'll take cumbia and then they'll put like noise over it, or tribal, mm-hmm. and then, but like, they'll, you know, talk about like how the narcos came and shot up a club.
Oh, shit. That's awesome. That's interesting. That's like a big clusterfuck right there. I like that.
Absolutely. It's like contrasting identity with reality. And it's, you know, because we glorify identity in so many ways.
You can do both.
But like, the reality is not always, you know.
Not as cute, not as fun, not as happy.
So, but my point is, like, he's also super funny. If you follow him on social media, like, he's just like a talking meme. You know, I love that. I just enjoy things that are fun and people mm-hmm. who want to have a good time and just kind of be ridiculous and silly.
That's perfect. Is that what you connected to with Juanga, or you said you had a come to light moment with him?
Juanga, it was Alex Anvanter, because Alex Anvanter is obsessed with Juanga.
Really?
Yes. He did a cover of one of his songs, Siempre Mi Mente.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, you know what? I should, like, you know what? If Alex loves him so much, I should really give him a shot.
How old were you then?
Oh, God. I was like 24. Like, it was around same time-ish. Mm-hmm. And I really, like, started, like, giving, you know, like, you know, Hasta Que Te Conocí, or like El Noa Noa. And then I started Googling. I was like, oh, El Noa Noa. He was like talking about a real bar.
Place, like a place what? He went to.
And so that kind of stuff. And then, like, you know, I got into the outfits and I was like, oh, Miss Thing. And then I got into the performance. And I remember there's this great line of him at El Palacio de Bellas Artes. Mm-hmm. He like had just performed this like 10-minute medley.
Oh, it must have been Hasta Te Conocí. That was like 10 minutes.
And he stops. He's like, hi, hi. And then he drinks water. He's like, tan rica el agua que hasta la usan para bautizar.
Oh.
And I'm like, yes, Miss Thing.
Yes.
And you know, this is in front of like dignitaries and like the president and
ambassadors and shit. Yeah. And he's just like, fuck it.
But more than anything else, it's just like, it's just him being the only way he knows how to be. And that for me rung very true. It's just like, this is the only way I know how to be. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a put on kind of person. I can try to adapt to my surroundings, you know? But at the end of the day, I'm still the person that I am, and I can't hide that from people. Like, coming out of the closet was kind of a no brainer for me.
How so? Define that. What do you mean?
It was weird. At least with my parents, it was more like, really the only thing that changed was me telling them that I, you know, like dick.
But they're like, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't go well, but you know, I knew that I shouldn't until a certain point. Mm-hmm. But I knew, like, again, it wasn't, I didn't do anything differently after. I wasn't like, woo!
Now finally! I can rainbows everywhere. Yeah, No. You're you.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been like sarcastic and, you know, kind of clowny and silly. And, you know, the only difference is that now they know that I like dick.
That's how me and Maite both feel about our like queerness, is like, we don't see it as like the only thing about us. It's like one thing of like a clusterfuck of other things that define us.
Absolutely. 100%.
I fucking love that. I stand that. Like, thank you for being that way too. Like, you get it. Like, it's just like, I'm still me, bitch. Like, I'll still fight you in the street, but yes, I also am like fucking that girl, but like, it's the same shit.
Absolutely.
Like, it's the same thing.
Well, and I've always been extra, you mm-hmm. know, like one of my first, so in recent years, again, I assume that people know this about me, like at least my longtime friends know this about me. Mm-hmm. Like, I am an extra person, not just in personality, but like, I really like to dress up. Like, I was a club mm-hmm. kid for a number of years. You know, I love mm-hmm. just like, you know, so in my mind, I always wanted to be one of those like New Yorkers that like you've at least seen in like mm-hmm. you know, in passing, in a show, in a magazine, in the newspaper. They're like, oh yeah, that guy, yeah
the guy with the pink hair,
I've always wanted to be that person. Mm-hmm. So like, obviously, like, personality is a very important part of it. Mm-hmm. But I also like, you know, there's a look attached to like these New York weirdos. And so I for a long time I was like, what I had to learn was, it's not about creating something, it's more about yielding to your intuition and what it is in your desires, what it is that you want to express.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first images that I ever remember was this ball of curly hair in a top hat. And then it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that was Slash from Guns N' Roses. But it was always like, I was always like, it's this moment that I'm like, that is really cool looking and I want to do that.
That is fucking cool. Imagine, like, you're just a little kid and you see that shit.
Yeah, I mean, and, and Slash is by no means a queer icon.
No.
But it's such a specific, non-heteronormative aesthetic choice.
All 80s, like, fucking hair metal and, like, the lipstick and the hair. Absolutely. Like, all that shit was just, like...
And, like, the cigarette just, like, hanging. Like, yes. It was some... Again, it was non-heteronormative, but you would never question his masculinity at the same time.
Yes.
Like, he reeked sex.
Yes. That's what it was.
But, like, he's also in a top hat. And, you know...
Fucking, like, doing... He has an outfit on.
And it's a full definitive look. Hair moment. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So that's what you wanted to be. That's amazing.
Yeah, I always knew. Again, like it was a matter of externalizing that
feeling,
internal image, exactly. Mm-hmm, you know, feeling. Just like, and a lot of it is hit or miss. A lot of it is hit or miss. Mm-hmm. You know, there are pictures sometimes surface where I look hella crazy, but you know, like I own up to it. You know, it's just like it's a road, you know, that you traverse. And I don't do it as much now just because, like, I'm always exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, I still have... I had to figure out a way to transition my nighttime garments into daytime. I sold some of the sequin, but, you know, like...
Aww.
Like, for example, like, the shirt that I'm wearing right now is, like, this printed shirt made from African fabric. And, like, I have a ton of stuff made in that. And I used to love wearing, like, print head to toe.
Oh, print's awesome.
Like, I had printed shoes, and I would, like, roll the cuff of my pants to have show off printed socks and do the whole thing and, like, necklace
and
headpiece.
You had the whole fucking look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had some thought.
And they're all separate, amazing. So you can, like, mix and match and, you know, use them in different... So, like, I'm also practical on top of all that mess because I'm like, well, girl, I'm not wearing this and if I can't wear it in summer, I'm not wearing it in winter.
You have to be smart about your selections.
Hello.
Good job. Good
Money's not infinite.
It's not. Oh, that's so amazing. And so I love that we got a little bit of background. And we were having another discussion about, I guess it's a complicated one to have, and maybe we don't have to go too deep into it, but we're having the discussion about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a complicated question and a messy question, and that's why I probably want to ask it. I already know the answer, but I do want to still ask it. It's like, how do you identify? Other than as a New Yorker.
Yeah. You know, I just say gay. Gay Latino. You know,
gay Latino.
I understand that we're currently living
in a
moment where defining these things matter in terms of safety, in terms of equality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I do sometimes find it hard to palate when it's like, you know, oh, well, gender is a spectrum and, you know, we're trying to like paint everything in shades of gray and that's cool. But then that's followed up with, so what's your label?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Like, I'm like, why does it really fucking matter how people identify?
And again, like, yeah.
It does. Like you said, everything you said is true. But at the same time, it's like, why do we then like... have to make someone pick,
right? And
be whatever the fuck you want to be
what,
human.
What matters to you and what matters to me is not necessarily the same thing. That doesn't,
that's true,
that but that also doesn't invalidate what matters to you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the conversation is extremely important. Again, I'm not fussy with that. Like, yeah. I'm not fussy with it, you know. I even when I did, like, you know, do the over the top blah blah blah, like, you know, I'm again, I've kind of transitioned out of it. I'm just a little, you know, tired, and I still have the moments where, like, okay, there's an event, I'll go do something extra, but you know, that never really, like, I never felt like that defined me. And again, like, if it does for you, that's cool. You know, it's just, you know, we were having this conversation before, and and like, you know, we said, you know, it's like there's nearly 8 billion people walking this like round rock in the fucking universe.
Yes.
Like, we can all experience it differently as long as, you know, we're all respecting each other rights, and, you know, like, we all have dignity and access to protections under the law, you know?
We have equality. We have true equality, which means protection for everyone, safety for everyone, the freedom to express and be whoever the fuck you want to be. Yeah. If you want to label yourself, fine, perfect. Fucking fly that flag as high as you need to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, you know, we're not saying that people shouldn't. They do whatever the fuck you want. Live that truth, you know? Like, but I think in a lot of ways, you know, identity is so complicated. Absolutely. And people are just, you know, I feel like we're tacking a lot now instead of listening. And I'm not saying that in an all lives matter way, because fuck that too. Fuck that. But
well, that's saying, something we were discussing before. It's just like certain things are up for discussion and interpretation.
Yes.
And some are not. You want to talk about tax policy? Yeah, okay, girl, we can disagree about that. That's fine.
Yes.
But when it comes to, let's say, you know, gender equality, you know, homophobia, transphobia, racism, those are not things, up for discussion. No. That, you know, it's a factual thing. It's a human rights thing, or you're an asshole.
Yes.
It's one, those are your options. Yes, those are your options. You know, and that's, you know, again, like, I think it's really cool. I was talking to my boyfriend about this, you know, a few months ago, and he was like, everything sounds like lit crit now. Like everything.
Yes. Like everyone got like a master's in lit, and like, they're all just like discussing it. That's a good thing though. I kinda like it.
I totally, you know, am really excited that, you know, we're all making an effort, to be better and to be able to express ourselves, more eloquently and specifically, you know, like clearly, you know, I'm wary of that sometimes, because a lot of people just get high and mighty, you know, in using this language.
Yes.
Ultimately, again, and this ties back to what I do as a journalism, you know, focus on communicating, focus on being understood, you know, if you're being shitty, make sure that point comes across.
So we can definitely just pinpoint you as a shitty human.
Yes. And that's it. You know, that's all I'm asking.
Some people are some people are shitty humans, and that's it. That's,
you're racist? Be clear about it.
Be clear about it, so we know where to put you. It's exactly. Like, oh, you're an asshole. Stay the fuck over there while we just try to kind of be human over here.
Exactly.
You know, so I love that. And I guess, like, the thing, our podcast, we talk a lot about representation and if it matters, what does it mean? Like, we spend entire things just covering POC people, Latinx people, Latinas, however you identify, as long as, you know, it's not the hegemonic society, it's not the society that colonized everybody. But
right.
But at the same time, you were telling me that you identified and you saw yourself represented in a very interesting show. Like,
yes. So, well, you know, it's funny because, like, these days it's like, everybody's like, oh, it's problematic and blah, 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 blah. Like, but I like
problematic faves.
Yeah. But, well, I don't even think of it that way. So I used to love Will and Grace.
Oh, yes.
and now, you know, like, it's very in vogue to be like, oh, like, you know, Seinfeld, fuck Seinfeld, you know, it was all white people and they were all so racist. And it's just like, well, I'm not about to discount 10 years of groundbreaking comedy just because, there was a melanin deficiency. Like,
it was vanilla as fuck, but you liked it.
The writing was brilliant. The concept was brilliant. The acting was good. You know, it's just, and the jokes landed. And, I can appreciate the things that needed to be better, but I can also appreciate what was actually good about it. And it's the same thing about Will and Grace. Like, my boyfriend hates Will and Grace because he, you know, and like many people, is just like, well, you know, this is how straight people see us now, because that's the representation that we got. And I'm like, yeah, but we had zero beforehand. Like, it was always like, you know, an uncle speaking in code in the background, you know? And so, yeah, I really identified with Will and Grace because, again, I do, like, I am flamboyant and I am sarcastic and I like that. And I appreciated that they were quite fey, or at least Jack was, And so
it was he your favorite?
No, actually my favorite was Karen.
Oh, fuck yes, Karen.
I was talking about this with Eva of De Colores, that I really identify with the villains, and the really shitty people. Again, like, I really like people who are dicks.
Are they dicks, or are they just like honest about what they are?
Oh no, she was trash.
Yeah, she was fucking trash, but I feel like she was very honest about it. Like,
yeah,
she just was who she was. Yeah. Even if it was like, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about now? But like, at least she was always that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, surprised. She wasn't fake. She wasn't fake. She just was a shitty person.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and it's very sharp social criticism if you really think about it, because it's like, she's speaking in these ways that the rich, you know, this absent-minded way that rich people think the time. It's like, you know, like, oh, look at all those you know, dark people, blah, bitty, blah, you know, and it's just very like, oh, girl.
Yeah, but it's only jarring because it's like, bitch, we know that's what you're actually thinking.
Exactly.
So it's just like, at least be honest.
Like, how did, you know, I remember there was a moment where, like, you know, she did something where, like, I forget, she, like, had just gotten wet or something, and she did, like, a hair flip, and then she had, like, a full blowout. And somebody was like, how did your hair do that? And she's like, money. Walked away. And, you know,
that is again, a sharp criticism.
It's social criticism, and, and I thought it was funny. But, you know, if you again, with Will and Grace, you know, like, when they had it was quite controversial. They had a kiss on, you know, on it. It was, like, the first time that gays had kissed on prime time. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a big deal. And, you know, I'm not out here like, hooray, but, you know,
you can appreciate that that was happening.
I can, yeah, exactly. I can recognize that we hadn't hit that milestone before. And, you know, yes, it's not the best representation of queers in media.
But it was yours.
But, well.
And it was where, it's what you identified.
It was, it was one of the first moments where I could, like, really be like, oh. but. Again, I can appreciate that it's not the best representation, but than nothing, and it's a good starting point. And I'm a fervent believer. I'm like, if I can't get it all now, I want the best that I can and improve on it as I go.
And that takes time, and that's totally reasonable. It's a stepping stone. It's going somewhere. It's going to be. Oh God, this is so cliche. It's going to get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you have to work at it. You can't just hope that it gets better.
No. It's a daily fucking grind thing.
Yeah, you don't just wait. And again, and that applies to everything from politics to, like, your health. You know, you don't just take a pill and it goes away. Magically. Or you don't just cast a vote and it's done.
No.
You know, it's a matter of you need
electing the right people, getting the right prescriptions, seeing the right doctors.
Exactly.
Electing people who actually believe in your shit. It's
but also, like, you know, holding them accountable when they don't follow through, you know. You know, it's one of those things. Just like it's like sitting on a secret, right? It's just like, you know, like, there's no easy fixes. You just have to work at it. You know, like, we can hold them accountable, but we need to be accountable ourselves.
Oh God, yes. Do you have any favorite, like, queer movies?
Yes.
Let's go.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh my God. That's like a fucking classic though.
I'm telling you, camp, garbage. Mm-hmm. This is what I like. And have you ever seen it live?
No, I have not. I'm such a fake. Maitha, I'm pretty sure, has.
It makes all the difference. It's really fun because, for those who don't know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is a musical from the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And it's this sort of like very, it's just like lipstick Frankenstein story. And, you know, it's terrible.
The dance routines, the songs, the fucking, you sing along in the fucking
absolutely
thing,
and you're supposed to throw shit at, like, at the movie. You know, so that, like, they'll say, there's a point in the movie where, you know, they'll do a toast. Mm-hmm. And when when Frankenfurter is like, a toast, and you're supposed, like, they give you, like, little packets and you have little pieces of toast that you
can
throw
actually
at the
throw
at
them.
Yeah.
That's fucking lit.
There's a song where he's like, cards for sorrow, cards for pain. And they give you playing cards and you throw them at the screen.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's a wedding sequence and they give you rice to throw at the bride and groom as they come out of the church. So, yeah. So I love that. I mean, you know, Tim Curry is up in drags the whole time.
Those heels.
And being, you know, so forceful onto this creature that he's created, who is in, like, gold lamé hot pants. And it's great. And when you see them live, actually, Frankenfurter is always played by a straight guy. And then Rocky, who is, like, this muscly godlike figure, he's almost always played by a gay. That's usually like an unwritten rule about productions of Rocky Horror. Yeah,
that's fucking amazing. I've never seen it live. I've only seen it, like, on the TV, on the Netflix.
I mean, it's great, but it really adds so much more to the experience.
That totally matches you as a person too, because you're like, I like to not take things seriously,
right?
And that's, it's so silly.
But it's also, like, so in your face. At no point does it try to hide it. Okay. You know, Brad and Janet, Barry Bostwick, Susan Sarandon, you know, they, like, you know, arrive in this house in the middle of a storm. And it's just like, this guy, this, you know, who, what is it? He goes to transsexual in the planet of Transylvania. It's just very, again, it is not.
They're not fucking hiding shit. Everything's right there for you to see.
And he's in like garter belt, panties, corset, you know, he's very out here. And then there's even the scene where like, you know, he like creeps into like their rooms because of course they need to sleep separately because not in my house.
Not in my house.
And then, but he like basically comes up on them and he's like, you know, like, oh, I love you. And you know, oh, you're so sexy. And like, oh, Brad. And then it like gets revealed that it's her. Mm-hmm. And like he does the same thing to Barry Boswell. He's like, oh, Janet. And like, and then his like legs are up in the air.
Oh shit.
And it's just like, that was in a movie in the 70s where like you had this basically like this transvestite. Oh, that's right, because he was a transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
There you go.
And yeah, and so you have this transvestite who just threw a straight guy's legs up in the air and like humped him. To what degree? Well, that's up to interpretation, but that happened. And I love that it's like, it again, it's quite subversive. It's utterly ridiculous.
Oh, it's super fucking subversive.
And it like, and it doesn't care about like your sensitivity. And I find that to be very punk rock in a way.
It is very punk rock. And it never gave a fuck about the viewer.
Yeah.
And that's, but the viewers, anyone who has a brain would fucking like vibe onto that and be like, this is it.
I mean, it's in poor taste. And and it's like these John Waters movies, right?
Oh,
it's
just
like
shit.
They're
Pink Flamingos or what is it?
Yeah, Divine? Pink Flamingos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in like in poor taste is really just sort of like, you know, a very
it's
a very nice, polite way of describing it. But yeah, like I really appreciate, again, I love camp. I've always been drawn to camp. I love things that are like funny and like, you know, so bad it's good. And, you know,
like kinda, what else besides Rocky?
I love the Flash Gordon movie.
Oh, what? I just got so excited because I thought of the theme song immediately.
Flash!
Masters every one of us? Yeah. Oh my god, yes!
And the lines from that are so good. You know, my favorite character from that movie is General Kala. Do you know the general? She's like this German lady for some reason in outer space. And I love her, you know, because like she has the best lines, like the campiest lines, like, you know, oh god, what is it that she says, like, oh, you know, they're being invaded or something. It's like, oh, should we notify His Royal Highness? She's like, you know, imbecile, the emperor will shoot you for interrupting his wedding with these news. You know,
it's so great.
Or like, you know, of course, like Flash Gordon's girl, her name is Dale. And she's like, Flash, I love you, but we only have 14 hours to save the Earth. And that to me is just like, what the fuck am I watching? It's so great.
It's so bad, it's good, you guys. Like, it's from like, what, the 70s?
Yeah, I think it's like 1980 or something like that. I have the album. It's
so good.
It's that, brilliant.
Oh, that theme song, nothing touches it. Like,
yeah, Queen did that.
Queen did the Flash Gordon theme. Yes, yeah, they did. They did. Queen. Oh my god.
And they did. It's all 100% an original soundtrack that they created for this film.
You guys, I give that shit 5 fucking pan dulces. Go watch Flash Gordon. It's, I can't remember if it was queer, but it was. Is there anything?
I mean, the general gave me queer lady vibes for sure. Ming the Merciless was out here in full guiche. Like those brows were painted, that collar was gilded, he was great. The princess, I think, betrays him or something, and then she's like getting whipped and she's like, oh, it's harder, you know, it's just so great. It's just mess personified.
I live for that. Like, now that I think about that, like, I haven't seen it in like maybe 10 years, but it does not leave you. Like,
no, it's
ever.
Really worth it.
It's worth it. I saw it so many times as a child. It's one of my childhood favorites. Oh,
but like, not even comedies. Like, I love The Exorcist. Because The Exorcist is just, it's camp.
It is super, like that fucking doll head that turned around.
Yeah,
in a circle.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell, and then like she turns around, and then she like gets on her back and crawls down the stairs. Like, I guess it's terrifying if you're actually religious.
Yeah,
I was watching it when I was like 15, laughing my head off. I thought that was really funny.
I was just like, what the fuck am I watching right now? Like, I was just kind of like, what is happening? It was just kind of like a shock, but it wasn't like a scared shock. It was just like, really? This is what scared people in the fucking like 70s, 80s?
I mean, it was scary because the A, religious it was playing factor. With religion, mm-hmm. and B, it was something that had never been done on film.
That's true.
So like it challenged people in many different ways, but like, mm-hmm. you know, we're like kids of like the 90s, yeah. early 2000s, you know.
Gunshots,
we've seen a lot of crazy shit, you know, yeah. in video games.
Yes, video yeah. games really fucked with us. So like now it's like Exorcist what? Like that's not...
Exactly.
But that is, yeah.
Again, it's camp. It's just it's things that are over the top. Mm-hmm. I'm really drawn to. Mm-hmm. I've never really cared for The Room in the way that the people are obsessed with it.
Johnny Uwaisu.
Yeah.
I've never even cared to watch it. Is that like I feel like it's just like pretentious bullshit. So it's
no, not at all. Oh God,
it's not.
I think it's mm-hmm. Johnny Uwaisu. Tommy Uwaisu.
Tommy Uwaisu.
He is just. I mean, he is just nuts. Like, straight up nuts.
I saw him the one time in like the Oscars where he tried to like, not the Oscars, like maybe the Golden Globes. James Franco won something, and he tried to like grab the mic. He looks wild as fuck. And what was that whole thing?
I mean, he was just this guy. So he's this guy that has no self awareness.
Imagine to walk around like that.
Exactly. I mean, and I mean, well, it's very strange. It's a little. It's a mixture of. Delusion and stick-wittedness. I listened to the RuPaul podcast, who is his own problematic figure.
Oh yes.
but they talked about The Room recently, and how there was a billboard for The Room on like, you know, I don't know, like Sunset Boulevard or some major avenue in LA, but it was there for like 3-4 years. And they were like, what? And Rue was like, that's how I found out about the movie, because he's like, I would just come and go from LA and be like, why is that still there? Why is that billboard still there? And it's speculated that he probably spent about $300,000 of his own money to keep that billboard there. But it's turned this movie into I'm sure many other things have done that. But like MST3K, whenever they like did it, that's one of their most famous ones. Like that's the one that really also brought The Room back into sort of the collective consciousness is, you know, mystery science theater, just making fun of it. And like, it's one of the most classic episodes.
Oh, I have to watch it just out of my curiosity. Now you've piqued it, but like, I was just like,
watch the Mystery Science Theater one. Cause at least cause it's really unwatchable. It's really upsetting. But at least you'll have the jokes to get you by. It's because it's truly awful.
I don't know. I've seen Irreplaceable by Gaspar Noé. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen most of it. Oof. It's really unbearable.
It's not for the faint-hearted at all.
I feel like I could get through it if I were with friends, just like with a couple beers, having a good laugh. But like, you know, my boyfriend likes to watch it in earnest, and I'm like, oh no,
not again.
No, I'm like, I can't do it.
Okay, so, and I have a little surprise for you. I just want to go ahead and bring in Maite. Maite, hey. Say what's up.
Oh, I'm like channeling my inner Babelito.
Que lo que was goody, Maite.
What's good?
Out here in Dallas, you know, living my chola life, you know, got the pointy boots on.
My former life, I'm so jealous.
Well, we'll meet IRL in LA soon enough.
I know, get your ass over here.
I will, can't wait.
So, I want to bring you in because you have your own little set of questions. So, whenever you are ready.
For you.
Yeah, please, come through.
Questions, are you ready?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so first question, it's one of the most important ones. Coffee or tea, and how do you take them?
In the butt and coffee.
No.
Come through, coffee enemas. You're an LA girl. Coffee enemas should not be that foreign to you.
Coffee's life.
Café en jarrito.
In the butt.
Oh my God. So second question, what is your favorite movie or show to watch on a rainy day? Like today in LA.
Oh gosh. Oh, I have one. God damn it. Fuck. So, you know what? Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie of all time. I really can watch it. I will come out of the shower butt ass naked and sit on that bed 2 hours while, you know, Bruce Willis like slashes a gimp with a samurai sword. That's really it.
Oh my God.
That's right, fucking art.
That's my aesthetic, honestly.
All right, next question is, what is your like favorite place in the whole world now that you've been to Dallas?
Fair. Favorite place in the whole wide world. Well, definitely, like, favorite place in the world is, like, a taco stand at 3 in the morning in Mexico City in a nondescript neighborhood. That really is, like, that's so reflective of most of my friends,
too. I think that's my aesthetic.
That's gold. Like, I need to make my way over there as soon as possible.
Yeah, Mexico City is tea. Especially, like, we left Javier Amena show and like went and got like liver. No, so the opener was terrible at her Javier Amena show in Mexico City, and we left her show, went and got liver tacos, and then like came back and like that was, and then we like hung out with her afterwards, so that was really fun. But yeah, name dropping because I'm that name asshole.
no big deal, NDD.
FOMO.
All right. So second to last question: what was what episode from your podcast was your favorite to record?
Oh man, that's really, I love to Beverlycia. You know, eternal love, because she is bae and she's like the reason we have this show, because you know, like I don't know that I could do it with anybody else.
She is bae.
My favorite episode to record, I think, is the one that I recently did with Fabi Fab and Vero from Radio Menea, just because it was so, it was like a middle finger to our audience a little bit, because it was like, oh, talk like Latin indie, fuck that, we're gonna talk about musicals and, you know, white ladies of country. It was so great. I live for that. Again, I really just enjoy disruptive energy, and it was hilarious, and we were drunk and just laughing, and it was great.
Yeah, and you know, as a side note, like, I was thinking about this earlier, how awesome it is that, like, some of my favorite podcasts, which is Latino to Lunch, Song Mess, Radio Menea, and Us, because I'm selfish like that.
Hello.
Like, we're all queer Latinos. Like, that's freaking awesome.
Absolutely. That's something that we've talked about before, because, like, you know, I, like, noticed that a long time ago. I was like, oh, wow, like, you know, this whole Support Brown podcast movement, like, a lot of us are queer. Like, you know, I see you, Octavio.
Yeah.
That's great. And also, like, aren't, like, Viva La Round girls? Or am I?
No, yeah, they are also queer.
Yeah, like, I mean, this whole movement, like, you know, it's cool, like, we've sort of centered it on, like, the fact that we're all brown, but... You know, I think we queers hold a majority stake in this movement.
Like, it was our little panel at Support at Podcast Stereo Fest was like queers, but there were queers literally in every single podcast almost. I was like, okay.
Also, like Stir.
I think literally every single one.
Almost.
Yeah.
No. De Colores is probably the exception.
Not even that much of an exception.
Well, also, like, let's wait till I'm done with them.
Oh, let me hang out with Eva just a little bit. No, okay. And Pat. Okay. No.
Hey, Zaddy. Hey, okay, mama.
Hey.
Last question is, like, actually, I don't know. It might be the most important one. Ooh. Okay. Do you identify as a cabrona or a chingona?
I identify as a maricona.
Hey. I think we did also talk about this. We did talk about this earlier.
As a camiona.
Hey.
That's what they call it. That's what they call lesbians in Chile, is camionas.
Yeah, yeah.
Or lelas.
Lelas. Yeah. Hey.
Oh my god.
I'm actually really down for now identifying as a lela. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Oh my god, I'm getting like, no pun intended, I'm getting extremely wet right now, so I have to go.
Okay. Oh my god.
Leaving that in forever, Maite.
All puns intended. Ding.
All pun. Ding, 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 ding. All right, Maite, thanks so much for being on the show. We love you. We miss you. We're glad you could be on it.
Sure. I can't wait to see you when you come to LA with Song Mess Crossover again.
Va a estar muy lit.
All right, Maite. Liddy. All right. Talk to you later, homie.
Bye.
All right, bye. Ooh, so we just got to talk to Maite for a little bit, and we got a little shout out.
That was really fun. I actually like didn't expect those questions. And shout out to these tecates that helped me answer them how I would answer them.
In the most honest way possible.
Of course.
And so I think we basically fucking covered so much. Honestly, I could record with you all day. And I would just keep it for me because I'm selfish like that, like Maite says. But I want to thank you for being on the show. It was an honor. It was fucking dope because I listen to you like every other Friday. Like, I'm obsessed.
I try. Thank you, and thank you for having me. I mean, that's that's one of the most exciting things that I'm doing. Like again, like as I'm traveling around and all that. Like, yeah. So I can't wait to be on everybody's show, but I also like I want everybody to be on our show. Mm-hmm. You know, because like Songmess is really great as a platform for me. You know, for me to try to like share music about all these like you know independent artists and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm also really interested in people's stories and mm-hmm. and the story like what music means to you. That's what mm-hmm. makes you know art so beautiful. This art so beautiful because it's just like it could really mean anything. Like you could connect it to family, you could connect it to like a life experience that you've had, you know. Mm-hmm. Like so much of the music that I listen to today mm-hmm. I associate with moments in my life, you know, like I used to like have this like 45 minute you know commute to this job or whatever and mm-hmm. this album you know
over and over
you know when that was happening or whatever you know mm-hmm. And so yeah, so I mean I'm always so interested in like the stories that people want to tell with whatever playlist they bring on. So again, like I've been saying this on our show and our social media, but I'm gonna say it on yours. You know, Beverly, I'm not going to be seeing her as much as I'd like to because of this trip. So if you want to be on the show, please come on
hit
our show.
Up. Hit them up.
Tell your story. Mm-hmm. Bring some musica. Let's get it popping. It's going to be great.
Hey, I love that. And with that, we'll probably end. So where can they follow you? Where can they find you?
Absolutely. So Songmess, just one word, is on your favorite podcasting platform. So we are on iTunes. We are on Google Play. SoundCloud, Stitcher. Mm-hmm. We are on all the social medias. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And you can always email us at songmessmusic@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Please forward all complaints to @TheRealDonaldTrump because that's really where you should be focusing your energy. And on a personal level, RixieNYC on Instagram. That's really the one that I use these days because it stresses me out the least.
All right. So thank you so much, Boo. Appreciate you.
And thank you for having me. This was such a blast.
Oh, it's gonna get lit tonight. So. Bye, guys.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? So what'd you think?
That was super informative. Like I didn't know any of these things about Richard, and like he's such an interesting dude and he's done so much.
Oh my god, he's super awesome, and like his energy is unmatched, honestly. Like
it is,
he's such a good vibe.
Yeah, I listened I listened to some of this interview before I met him, and then now I like recently met him and I finished listening to it, so it was like really cool to hear it like pre and post meeting him. And thank you so much for hanging out with me this past weekend, Richard. It was like a blast. Like he's such a good time.
he's really really fun, and I feel like you always learn something about the music industry just being around him. So such a good vibe.
Yeah, I'm so glad he brought up Rocky Horror Picture Show, and yeah, I have gone to one of those shows, and let me tell you, they are really fucking fun.
I didn't know you could throw things at them. Like, you had told me about the show in Inwood, at the Inwood Theater, but I didn't know it was, like, that intense.
Yo, I literally got a lap dance that day.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But I'm really glad that you guys got to do an episode together, and I'm really hoping that me and him hanging out pretty soon. So I'm also glad we're, like, 2 days, not even, like, less than 2 days away from releasing this episode. I thought it'd be a good idea to like bring up some more current stuff that we haven't been able to talk about, because most of our recordings are like from when I was in Dallas, which is forever ago.
Oh yeah, it's been forever since we've been current.
Which is going to change pretty soon. We have a lot of new recordings planned and scheduled, so we will be more current.
Yeah, we got fresh content coming for y'all, so it's going to be interesting. No, there's been some crazy shit happening in the world lately. What, I mean, everything's happened since we last talked. It feels insane.
Yeah, it was definitely weird, like, hearing about what was going on in Austin, you know what I mean? Like, something that's going on in a state that I lived in my entire life, you know, and just being so far from it.
It's bullshit, dude. Honestly, like, I wake up every morning and see something else, and it's just bullshit. Like, I'm really, really tired of it.
Yeah, it freaking sucks, and that's why I guess it was kind of nice to listen to this interview, too, because it reminded me of, like, all the dope-ass podcasts that these days, honestly, it's kind of like escapism. Like, you go and see all this tragedy, and you get to, like, ride home and maybe hear a little bit about your friends from other podcasts instead.
Yeah, it's not as bad as having to go through that everything happening in the world. Everyone, I guess, craves escapism. I mean, our entire podcast is about, like, movies and, like, somehow escaping into a different story.
But, I mean, me and you at least have some things to be excited about pretty soon. Are you going to be joining in on this fucking awesome Selena event this weekend in Dallas, in your city?
Yeah, so if you're in Dallas, guys, you need to hit up the Selena events that are happening this weekend with The Coco. Friday, they're going to have a showing of Selena at Texas Theater. And then they're going to be having, I believe, an art show right next door at the same time. And then I believe on Saturday, they're going to be having a Selena lookalike concert at a concert lookalike event at Country Burger. And then they're going to have like a club night at Club Dada. So Dallas peeps, hit us up, hit me up. I'll be at all those places and I'll be glad. You'll be able to meet Coco, the Coco, and you'll be able to get a sticker from me. So come join us.
You'll be able to meet like one of the Selena cast members themselves.
Yes, you'll be able to meet someone who's in Selena, so it's gonna be pretty iconic. So I hope all the peeps come out for it.
Yeah, if you haven't already listened to the Colores' last episode, it was pretty great. And then in like not like less than 2 weeks, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be about a week away. I'm gonna be in Las Vegas hanging out with my favorite person ever, Fabi Fav, and. But during the day,
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, but during the day, I will be at Klexicon, which is a convention that is a lot like our podcast, except more on the queer side, I guess. But it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Klexicon, April 6, 7, 8, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys are already planning on going, I'd love to meet every single last one of you. I'll be around. Hit me up on Twitter. It's Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. We are at CYC Podcast. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/CYC Pod. Our Patreon, if you want some extra content, is patreon.com/CYC Podcast. And guess what? We're now on Spotify.
Yo, your girls are popping. We're on Spotify.
Mama, I made it. And on Sunday, we were doing a recording already. Like I said, we're going to be current as hell these coming next 2 months. So after our recording on Sunday, we're going to do an Instagram Live. So if you live in, like, the West Coast, it'll be, like, 1 to 2 p.m. If you're on the East Coast, it'll be way fucking earlier. I don't know. Do the math. So 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time.
It'll be on Easter, guys. So... Well, you guys April Fool's. Fam. April Fool's Day, we're going to get y'all / Jesus rebirthing or whatever.
I'm going to come out as straight. Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much wraps up everything that we need to talk about other than, like, you know, we do have stickers and we would love to send you some, you know, especially if you guys go leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know how you feel about us. We would love to know.
Yeah, shut us out and we will send you them stickers.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Not right now, no. Probably going to save it for the Instagram Live, so you guys should definitely check into that.
For sure, so, and then come with questions, like start brainstorming, writing them down in your notes section of your iPhone, because that's what I do, and ask us some questions. We're going to be talking about some, like, Netflix renewals and new Netflix shows that we've been into lately, so it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I might even bring up Fantastic Woman, which I recently saw and was heartbroken by, but
Yeah, might. Sunday. We don't want to, definitely don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
I ain't gonna spoil that. Yeah.
All right, guys, hit us up on social media. My personal is MYTE Panda.
Yeah, my personal is at Fried Papita. And tweet me emojis, and I will tweet you back all the emojis I know. And if you guys want to talk about SZA, hit me up on Twitter. I will be glad to do that all day.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to this amazing interview. Shout out to Richard. Can't wait to see you soon.
Yes. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.